Time now for the very latest world sport from the BBC with me, Richard Fleming. Coming up, England have the upper hand after day one at Lord's. Former Argentine World Cup winner Ozzy Ardiles tells Carlos Tevez to treat Man City with more respect. And
9-5-8 is not a joke. it's not a joke. I'm not gonna lie to myself. I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh yes, I think I can get there. It's not gonna happen this season.
And Usain Bolt rules out breaking his own world record this year. But we start with cricket. England will begin day two of the first test against India at Lord's on 127 for two. No play was possible, though, after tea due to heavy rain on day one. Reflecting on the opening day of the historical 2000th test match, the BBC's Lee James.
The contest and the setting were fitting for test cricket's landmark 2000th test. The only disappointment was the weather. A delayed start only heightened the anticipation surrounding this match. The hype justified by the opening passage of play, which highlighted why the sport's longest format remains the true test of a cricketer's skills. India's bowlers were immediately on top in helpful overcast conditions. Zahir Khan struck twice to remove both England openers, Cook LBW for 12 and Strauss caught off a pull shot for 22. But three chances went begging. Trott made the most of his reprieves to lead the fight back and beaten on 58 with Peterson, and as the skies became gloomier, their prospects were brighter. India's frustrations were compounded when Zahir left the field clutching his right hamstring. They'll hope he can recover overnight if they're to regain the initiative.
Well, the new Indian coach Duncan Fletcher, once of England, admits he was a little underwhelmed by the Indian bowlers' failure to take more wickets.
It was difficult from a point of view that, you know, winning the toss, like I said, we probably three wickets we would have been quite happy with. Two, you know, we would have felt not disappointed, but we just felt that, as I say, we should have got another wicket. But it is difficult coming from the West Indies where it didn't swing. You suddenly come here and it's really swinging around, so sort of, you know, lines and lengths change a bit, and it's asking quite a lot. But I think they're professional cricketers and they'll feel disappointed that they could have put it in the right areas.
The England batsman Jonathan Trott finished the day on 58 not out. He says they're happy to have finished. Trott finished the day on 58 not out. He says they're happy to have finished the day on 127 for two.
It was a little bit similar to Pakistan last year, wasn't it? It's sort of overhead, a little bit drizzle. You know, the guys had a fight, and I think we did well as a side, as a unit. We got through. And unfortunately, you know, Cookie and Strassi, you know, got up, but that's the way, you know, cricket is. I had a few let-offs myself, maybe, and just really happy to be here with being not out overnight. As I said, I'm standing here not out with the opportunity to go on tomorrow and see how many runs I can get and see what kind of position, you know, Kev and I can put ourselves in tomorrow morning.
Bernhard Langer believes that Tiger Woods' decision to sack the caddy who helped him win 13 of his 14 major titles is a huge shock. Steve Williams says he's shocked and hugely disappointed by the decision. They teamed up in 1999 and formed one of the most successful partnerships in the game. Langer, who's a former Ryder Cup captain and two-time major winner, thinks the timing of the decision is extremely strange.
It actually does, because they seem to be a great team. And they've been together for a very long time. I don't know why they split up now after he's not even playing. I mean, if there's anything going on, they should have split up 3 months ago or 4 months ago while he was playing. But anyways, I'm sure Tiger has his reasons. And, you know, caddy player relationship, they both need to be happy. If one party isn't, they will depart and find another combination.
Now, stage 18 in the Tour de France could prove to be the most decisive of the race thanks to an amazing ride by Andy Schleck of Luxembourg through the High Alps to the finish on the top of the Col de Galibier. The details come from the BBC's reporter on the tour, Simon Brotherton.
Andy Schleck threw down the gauntlet to everyone else on a brutal alpine stage with a brave attack on the Col des Wardes, which ultimately earned him the victory at the top of the Galibier at 2,645 metres, the Tour's highest ever altitude finish. But it wasn't quite enough to propel him into the yellow jersey as well. His brother Frank was second, just over 2 minutes behind, with Cadel Evans, who led the chase group all the way up the Galibier, third. Frenchman Thomas Voeckler hung in there, though, and bravely and surprisingly hung on to the yellow jersey. Alberto Contador lost time, though, nearly 4 minutes on the day. Voeckler's lead over Andy Schleck is just 15 seconds now, with Frank Schleck third at 1:08, and the Australian Cadel Evans fourth a further 4 seconds behind. All to play for those four, then.
Ahead of Friday's Diamond League meeting in Monaco and the last 100 metres he'll run before the World Championships, Usain Bolt says he'll not be breaking his world record this year. As Ed Harry reports from Monte Carlo, the Jamaican has rarely been so candid.
Really, for the first time, Usain Bolt is spelling out how difficult it was to run as quickly as he did in Berlin at the World Championships 2 years ago, 9.58 seconds to break his own world record for the 100. And he'd like people to appreciate how difficult that is, and like them also to accept, as he clearly has accepted, that he is not in that kind of shape. He'll go out there, he's unbeaten this season, he wants to defend his titles in both sprints, and of course the sprint relay as well. But people shouldn't expect, he says, for him to do so with world record times this year, because he's simply not in that kind of shape.
9.58 is not a joke. it's not a joke. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yes, I think I can get there. It's not going to happen this season. I think, yes, I've put in a lot of work. I've worked hard, really hard this season, and it's coming together slowly. But I don't think I've put in the work. I never had enough time because the injury, and I had to take my time and work my way back up. So I don't think I had enough time to work that hard to get back to 9.5 shape. As you can see, a lot of people have run 9.6, so 9.5 is not an easy task. So for me, I just face the facts, and I want to run fast, and I'm always going to try to run as fast as possible. But I face the facts, not going to happen this year, but I'm going to try to run as fast as possible.
Usain Bolt finishing that report by Ed Harry. On to football, the former Argentina international Ozzy Ardiles has told the BBC that Carlos Tevez must show more respect to his Manchester City teammates. Tevez was set to join the Brazilian side Corinthians on Wednesday in a $64 million deal, but that's collapsed. Ardiles says Tevez must improve his attitude.
Carlos is, unfortunately, he looks to me as a very confused man right now. He has to be careful what he say about his teammate, about his team. He has to have a lot of more respect, really, for all the people around him. If I could advise him, I would say not to say anything, in fact, not to talk to the media so much. In Argentina as well, it's in every program that you can think of. He really should concentrate in what he does best after he's playing football. He can forget about everything else.
The Spanish and European champions Barcelona have confirmed they've reached a deal with Italian club Udinese to buy the Chilean striker Alexis Sanchez for $37 million. The 22-year-old will sign a 5-year contract. He'll be officially unveiled at the Camp Nou on Monday. More transfer news. Arsenal have had a $16 million bid for the Everton and England defender Phil Jagielka rejected. Jagielka joined Everton in 2007. He's made 8 England appearances. Arsenal also made a bid to sign the player last year. On to boxing now. The IBF light welterweight champion Zab Judah believes his unification bout against Britain's Amir Khan, who holds the WBA crown, will prove beyond doubt that he's one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world. The high-profile fight will take place on Saturday in Las Vegas, and Judah, a 5-time world champion, is predicting an easy night's work.
Well, I don't see no threat that Amir Khan brings to the table. Skill-wise, the man has 22 fights. I got more knockouts than he got fights. If you want to look at skills and threat, it should be in his Zab Judah. But like I said, he's a young kid. I've been in his position before, you know what I'm saying? I understand what he's feeling. He's feeling like he's the best right now. And, you know, hey, he's supposed to feel like that. But come Saturday night, I'm going to show the world that I am still the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world.
On to motorsport, the Indian driver Karan Chandok will replace Jarno Trulli at Team Lotus for Sunday's German Grand Prix. As the team continue their bid for a first ever point in Formula One, Chandok raced for Hispania for the first half of last season and was named as Team Lotus reserve driver this season behind Trulli and Heikki Kovalainen. Well, before we go, a reminder that England will begin day 2 of the first cricket test against India at Lord's on 127 for 2 this after a rain affected